A reading from the book of Isaiah. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down so that the mountains would quake at your presence. As when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries so that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down, the mountains quaked at your presence. From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen the God, any God besides you, who works for those who wait for him. You meet those who gladly do right, those who remember you in your ways. But you are angry, and we sinned. Because you hid yourself, we transgressed. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. There is no one who calls on your name or attempts to take hold of you. For you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the hand of our iniquity. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord, and do not remember iniquity forever. Now consider, we are all your people. The word of the Lord.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This past week I heard about a holiday gathering where you could bring your kid not to sit just in Santa's lap, but the Grinch's lap too. I don't know. Somebody just tweeted something kind of witty about the villain of Whoville. Just so we're clear, the Grinch never hated Christmas. He hated people, which is fair. That's what John Paul Sartre said, hell is other people. Oh, happy Advent. So it is the first Sunday of Advent, and for those that are not sort of, you know, brought up in the liturgical church, Advent's the four Sundays that lead up to Christmas. And so Advent, just by its very nature, is a season of waiting. It's a season of yearning. It's a season of longing. It's a time of, like, coming, but not yet. And in another book, Oh, the Places You'll Go, Dr. Seuss talked about the waiting place, waiting for a train to go or a bus to come, plane to go or the mail to come or the rain to go or the phone to ring or the snow to snow, or waiting around for a yes or a no, or waiting for their hair to grow. Everybody is just waiting. And again, this is not just Advent, but waiting is life. Like, think about for a minute, the experience of waiting that you have in your life. Sometimes it can be good if you, like, know the outcome and you don't have to wait too long and there's this, like, sort of anticipation building up. But rarely is the experience of waiting good. Being told to wait, wait, is usually pretty annoying. Something as, like, pedestrian as trying to cross the street, you push the signal button and the little man in the box says, wait, 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 and then you have to wait, and it's annoying. If you are in a waiting room, then rarely you're there for good news. Where are you? You're probably at the doctor or the hospital, and you have some kind of problem that you need attending to. You could be waiting for test results. You could be waiting for the medicine to finally kick in and start working. So, you know, again, our lives are filled with waiting from all the different sort of epochs or periods of our lives. You might be a young parent, and you have little children, and you're harried, and you are just waiting for your children to get out of diapers, waiting so that you can finally get a good night's sleep. Little do you know at that point, by the time they're old enough and you can sleep the night, you won't sleep the night because you'll be too worried about them anyway. You know, you could be waiting for a partner, for a romantic partner. You could be so lonely, and you're just waiting for that someone to come into your life and to be with you, to ask you to marry them, to have a life partner with. You could be in a marriage and you are waiting for the marriage to be what you hoped it would be. You're waiting for your husband to finally understand you and to love you as you actually are. You could have children and they could have moved away and they don't call. You're estranged from them and you're waiting for your estranged son to call you on your birthday, and yet another one comes and another one goes and you're still waiting. You could be waiting to get a job, like a lot of you might be soon. You could be waiting for that job to be successful. You could be waiting to be successful in that job. You might be toward the end of your life and you're sort of waiting to retire, waiting to have your life come together as you hoped it would, have enough money to retire, but there never seems to be enough. And if you go into a nursing home, any nursing home at all, and you talk to the people that are out in their wheelchairs in the hallways, and it won't take you long to find a half dozen people who are just waiting to die, and they'll tell you that. They feel like their lives are expended, and they're just waiting to die. Maybe it's, something a lot less, intense as that. Maybe you're just sort of waiting for the next fun thing to happen, or waiting for your exams to be over, or waiting to graduate, waiting to get past that first starter job. Maybe you're just waiting for cocktail hour, unless you are my grandmother, who liked to say, it's dark under the porch at any hour. In that case, you're not waiting. It's possible you're waiting for the sermon to be over. I don't know. You're waiting for something. But think about it for a minute. What does it mean to wait, the experience of waiting? As I said, Advent is a time to wait. We're in a kind of waiting place. So waiting means that you don't do anything. It means that you are out of control. You're waiting for someone else rather than you, other than you, to do something, to affect something that you want. So you're out of control, which is why waiting can be excruciating. Waiting for that person to call, waiting for that person to call back, waiting for this to happen, that person to do this, so this will happen. And to be honest, lots of people live with a kind of chronic worry or anxiety. They're waiting for something bad to happen. And, you know, if this one thing gets solved, then there's just a free roaming or free form attachment to another thing to worry about. You are, as the old saying goes, waiting for the other shoe to drop. Like right now in our culture, I wonder how many men right now are waiting for somebody to make some kind of allegation against them. Everyone is just waiting. So we're in Advent, and we're waiting, especially the first 2 weeks of Advent, when we're in fact not waiting for Santa or the Grinch or even the birth of the baby Jesus. In the first 2 weeks, all the readings and the prayers are focused on the fact that we are waiting for the crucified, risen, ascended, resurrected Lord to come back to earth, to right all the wrongs, to wipe every tear from every eye, to banish all suffering, to abolish all death, to establish his kingdom of righteousness and peace forever and ever and ever. That's what we're waiting for. That's whom we are waiting for. That, I would suggest, is the longing below all of our longings. So the reading that Jeff just read from Isaiah taps into our longing for God to come and to act and to do it right now and to deal with this issue that I have, but the issues that the world has as well. The opening line in the reading was, "Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down," Isaiah says. Bono echoes this when he sings, "Jesus, Jesus, help me. I'm alone in this world, and it's a messed up world too. Wake up, dead man. I'm tired of waiting. Lord, come do something now. I can't wait any longer. So I wonder if I'm not alone in what this feeling that I have that I'm about to share with you, that this year, where we are, that we might feel an extra need. We need an extra dose. We have a deeper longing for God to come and do something good after the fall we've had. I mean, obviously, August 12th is still with us. But then, you know, we went from that to this string of horrible natural disasters all over the world, one right after another, followed up by another example of a horrific mass shooting. And you kind of combine all those things, and it makes you feel like we need some good news. I was in Birmingham, Alabama, working for the Cathedral Church of the Advent for Dave Zoll's dad. Paul Zoll was my boss there when 9/11 happened. Just moved down there. And after it happened, I remember Paul saying that right after the tragedy, that year, that people would really need Christmas that year more than ever. And I wonder if it's the same thing's not true for us now and here. So it feels like that we can, no matter where you're coming from, come together and with one voice this first Sunday of Advent and cry out, Lord, come, tear open the heavens, come down. O come, Emmanuel, as we sing in the great Advent hymn, ransom captive Israel. Everyone is just waiting. What are you waiting for? Well, this evening, the prophet Isaiah speaks a word of comfort and hope to all of us who wait, which is all of us. He says, from ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, you who works for those who wait for him. There is only one God, he says, and he is the God who works for those who wait. What this means is this, that when your hands are tied, there's only one God, and his hands are at work for you. This means that when you feel that you just cannot take one more step, well, there is only one God, and he is the God who will pick you up and will carry you. And this means that when you have exhausted all your possibilities, nitpicking all the way around this problem that you have, and you can't solve it, you see no way to solve it, there is only one God, and he will do something that you have never even thought of, ever. God works for those who wait for him. That means you. Now, this doesn't mean, of course, that waiting is easy or pleasant. The waiting is the hardest part, has been said. It may feel to you, in fact, that you have been waiting for this thing to resolve for so long that you feel like it will never come. You may feel like you're stuck in Samuel Beckett's existential play, waiting for Godot, waiting for a character who never shows up. The curtain goes down. The book is closed. Godot never shows up. But what I can tell you this first Sunday of Advent with true confidence is that God will show up. And I can tell you that with confidence because God has already shown up. He's already answered the prophet's prayer to tear open the heavens and come down. But here's where you have to think about it differently. Because God is God, and God is not you, and God is not me. And so God does things differently than we would. God doesn't work according to our scripts. So he answers that prayer in his own way and according to his own will rather than ours. If you heard the reading, you saw that Isaiah wanted God to come down and and beat some butt. I mean, he wanted to knock some heads together. He wanted to make sure that his enemies quaked and that the problem would be solved. He would come down with strength of his right hand and everyone would see it and quake in his presence and God would take care of things. But God doesn't do that. We want that often, don't we? But there's only one God, and the God we get comes to us in a different way. For he did tear open the heavens and come down, but nobody quaked at his presence. Why? Because who would quake in the presence of a little infant boy born in a feeding trough to a provincial carpenter and unwed mother? And like, who would quake in the presence of a man who said that he was the friend of sinners, who said, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will refresh you"? And who would quake in the presence of a mocked and beaten man struggling up a hill with a cross laid upon his scourged shoulders? See, God, in his own way, has already worked for those of us who wait for him, because he's come to us in Jesus Christ to take away our sins, to accomplish our salvation once and for all. And this Advent, we do say, "Come, Lord Jesus," and he will come again to make all things right and to make all things new. For there is a light that we can't always see, but that light is burning and it will come. God is at work for you, that's for sure. Now, it may be and probably will be in a way that you don't and can't expect, but that doesn't change the fact that God works for those who wait. Amen.